I do have one more announcement, and also another prayer request came in. Please pray for Sharon Keith, or she's asking for prayer for her grandson Jason and his wife during their pregnancy, and also for salvation for both. Sharon Keith was attending here, and I believe she's recently moved to Grand Forks, so if we just keep that in prayer. Also, Brother Cobb, you may need to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's got a text from Pastor Fryman. There's either talk of canceling domestic flights, or he's just afraid they may not get back, so they're trying to change their flight plans. And I don't know the dates on that, but I would imagine as soon as possible. So if you just keep them in prayer as they try to get back from Florida. Tonight, in Pastor's absence, he's asked Brother Chad Turner to speak to us tonight, and I just ask that you would watch over him, and or that the Lord would watch over him, and that you'd pray for him as well, like you did this morning, as he speaks tonight.
I even get the obligatory handshake.
You have to do it. All right, let's pray before we begin, because I know I need it. And I'll speak so fast, I know you're going to need it, so. As I tell the choir, try to keep up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, it's been a great day to be in your house. Lord, we just praise you for what you've done, who you are to us. We praise you for what you have done for us. I pray that this message that we hear from you tonight would be a lesson to all of us, a learning opportunity, something that we can take away and just understand a little bit more about who you are and your love and your graciousness towards us as sinners. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, am I on? Ben, I'm good. All right, so if you take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, obviously I am used to preaching to the Kids for Christ class, so if I start picking on the KFC class, Rebecca, Mackenzie, you'll know why. But I like teaching about Jesus and his life on earth and what he saw, what he did, his face-to-face interactions with people. It would have just been amazing, I think, to see Jesus face to face. And what's odd to me is that people didn't recognize it right away at the time. They didn't see him, so to speak, at the time. They saw him, but they didn't see him. And it's a lot like us. We hear the services, we listen to preaching, but we don't see Jesus. And what I like to do is just see Jesus. The best way to do it is the Gospels. But I was teaching this to the kids, and then I was reading in Leviticus and some personal devotions, and we'll go from Luke, and then we'll hit Leviticus, and then we'll come back to Luke. So let's start in Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to tell you, the Bible's going to tell you a little story about Jesus that seems innocuous, but we'll get into it here in a minute. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. Luke 5:12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. I love this story. It's a simple story. A leper comes and asks for healing. Leper says, Lord, if it's your will, I want to be clean. Jesus touches a leper. Now, we lose that sometimes, but Jesus touched a leper. It's not, you weren't supposed to touch lepers. In fact, lepers were supposed to, as you guys know, holler, unclean, unclean, don't touch me, don't come over here. Don't look at me, don't touch me, I'm unclean. Jesus went over to him and touched him and saying, I will, be thou clean. There's a huge lesson with Jesus' will, our will, be thou clean. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. And Jesus charged him. Now, this is what is interesting, what was interesting to me and what caused me to deep dive into this, but he said, tell no man. That doesn't sound right. I mean, we're told that as Christians, we're supposed to tell everyone, right? But go and show thyself to the priest. The priest? I thought the priest hated Jesus. And offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Offer for thy cleansing. Always puzzled me, but then I was reading in Leviticus. Here we see Jesus heals a leper. Why is that a big deal? This is another thing that struck me at this passage. It's one of the first of his miracles. He comes on the scene. He changes water into wine. He heals Peter's mother. He drives out evil spirits. And then he heals this leper. It's a purposeful miracle. There's something to this. Notice in verse number 14, Jesus tells him to go to the priest. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 1, like I promised. Keep your place there. So take this story, put that in your pocket. Go to Leviticus chapter 1. We won't stay in Leviticus chapter 1, but Leviticus. If you want to get ahead, you can stop in Leviticus chapter 14. That's where we'll end up. But we see in Leviticus all the different sacrifices and offerings that need to be brought for various reasons. We're going to travel back in time. This is thousands of years before. If you like taking notes, then go ahead and take notes and pretend that you're a student. Imagine you're a student trying to learn all the laws. You're a student, you're a priest. You're going to be a priest in the temple at some point, and you're learning all these things, and you have to take notes. How many of you guys were students at some point in your lives? Yeah, all of us, right? Taking notes, writing stuff down, remembering, taking tests, quizzes, and then you grow up and you have to do the thing that you've been studying all your life. And that's what these priests had to go through. Obviously, priests didn't just become priests. They were born into it through the tribe of Levi, and they had to study. They had to learn all these things. Leviticus chapter 1, we see the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 2, we see the meal offering. Leviticus chapter 3, the peace offering. I told you I'd be going fast. Leviticus chapter 4, we see the sin offering. Leviticus chapter 5, we see the trespass offerings. Those were the five offerings for the common folk, the people. People like you and me. The burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering. If you want to study those are great little studies. Each one has its own ceremony. Each one has different things it needs. Then you go to Leviticus chapter 8. We're going to skip over 7 and go to Leviticus chapter 8. This Leviticus 8 through 10 talks specifically about a priest, what the priest had to do in order to become sanctified and consecrated for becoming a priest. There were the consecration laws. There was the usual offerings, as we saw in the chapters 1 through 5. Then there was a bullock or a calf. And then they, in addition to everything else that the common folk needed, these guys needed to be sprinkled 7 times with oil and anointed with oil. You guys all know this, I'm sure. Now take that little tidbit and put that in your pocket along with Luke chapter 5. So Leviticus 8 through 10 gives us the consecration law for the priest. And then Leviticus 11 starts the offerings of purification. There were lambs, there were turtle doves, there was one or two things, just odd things. And if you study it, you'll see the picture of Christ in every little offering. Then we get to Leviticus chapter 13. We're just cruising tonight. We could do the whole Bible this way. Leviticus chapter 13. Now this chapter was specifically regarding how a priest determined leprosy in someone and what the person had to do in order to determine they had leprosy. Now it's not very complicated. They were sick. They needed help. Obviously, there's nothing in Leviticus chapter 13 for the priest to do for the person with leprosy. It just tells them to look, and here's how you tell if they have leprosy or not. Then they have to be set apart. They had to be cast out of the camp. They had to burn everything they were in contact with. Then we get to Leviticus chapter 14. And I'm going to read a big chunk of this one, so Leviticus chapter 14, and we'll read verse 1 through verse 20. So hang tight. If you're prone to taking notes, try to take notes, because I had the class do this, the Kids for Christ. They tried to list out everything that was required in the list of stuff that the priest had to do or the leper had to bring. So try to keep up. You won't get it all, I promise you, but we'll get through it real quick here. Leviticus 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed," here's the list, 2 birds alive, and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all of his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off his hair, off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present that man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, for as unto the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering, it is the most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and he shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Now, that seemed extensive, didn't it? If you read the other ones, chapters 1 through 5, it was pretty simple. Usually just a lamb, a turtle dove, a bull, a sheep. If you were a turtle dove, if you were poor, a log of oil, if you were really poor, the meal offering was just flour and oil. This has all of the elements in all of the previous sacrifices that were needed. Also, it seemed really extensive. It just seemed like I called it a rigmarole. It was kind of a long ordeal. The priest had to do so much. How many of you counted all the elements that the person needed? It wasn't just 1 or 2. Did anybody get a good count? I counted 10 different elements, 11 if you count the water. We all know that Scripture is clear how leprosy is a picture of sin. We have all heard sermons about this. We know that leprosy is a picture of sin. It spreads. We have read the Bible stories. This ceremony, if you read and study it, it shows us so much about what God thinks of sin. It's so filthy and vile that it takes a huge, long ceremony, even just to picture how sin is removed. But it not only shows us what God thinks of sin, but it also shows us his provision to bring us into reconciliation with him. Through the ceremonial cleansing of the leper, we see a few things. And a couple of things that I wanted to point out tonight, and there's so many more. If you read the ceremony, there's so many different facets about it, but the first thing that struck out to me was sin is a big deal. If you look at the ritual itself, it's done in 3 different parts. It spans the course of 8 entire days. It required 10 different elements. There were 2 birds, an earthen vessel, cedar wood, some scarlet, hyssop, 2 he-lambs, 1 ewe lamb, some oil, some flour, and a log of oil, which I think were the same thing as the oil, but it's just a picture. This seems extensive, but if you look closely, a lot of these elements are found back in the previous chapters of Leviticus in some of the various offerings. It's almost as if this particular ceremony required a little bit of every single one of the sacrifices we saw in Leviticus chapters 1 through 12. Another thing I wanted to point out was that this ceremony is performed after a leper was healed. You remember the priest had nothing to do with his cleansing. The priest couldn't cleanse a leper. This ceremony was performed after the leper was healed. It was not a ritual used in order to heal a leper. In fact, if they had done this whole ritual and come to find out the leper wasn't healed afterwards, I think these little priest students would have been kind of disappointed. It wasn't the ritual did nothing for an existing leper. It was only for those who would be pronounced clean. This shows me that there is no man, there's no ceremony, there's no temple that can take away this disease. It is only a picture of how bad the disease was and how gracious our God is. Let's look at the first part of the ceremony real quick. Day one, a leper is cleansed. And I can imagine these little priest students learning all the other ceremonies. Easy peasy, right? Bring a lamb. If you don't have a lamb, bring a turtle dove. If you don't have a turtle dove, bring some flour. For some ceremonies, it's got to be a he lamb. For some ceremonies, it's got to be a female lamb. And then they get to this one. They have to learn this one. Oh, no. The professor's like, all right, Mackenzie, let's review the ceremony of a leper. And she's thinking, oh, I don't want to do it. Not that Mackenzie would be a priest. It was funny. All right. But the first part of the ceremony, day number one, a leper is clean. We see on day number one, verses 2-8, the priest needed to meet the leper outside the camp. This shall be the law of the leper in his day. He shall be brought unto the priest, verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So on day one, we see the priest would meet the leper outside the camp. Verse 4. Then the priest shall command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So the priest has to go outside the camp, inspect the leper, kill one of the birds, mingle his blood with water, take the living bird, the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet cloth, plunge the living bird into the blood water mixture, and set the bird free. There's a lot of imagery here. It's a foreshadowing of Christ. And as Pastor Freiman's been saying, everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of a picture of Christ. If you see how the first thing I noticed was that, and there's so much here, so I'm only picking out what I noticed, and there's so many more things. But Christ meets us outside where we are. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. There's nothing we can do to help ourselves, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I didn't have to make myself clean before I could come to Christ. He came outside. He met us outside where we are. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16 says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we can come to Christ. He's coming outside looking for us. He's asking you to come to him. He's looking for you. If you're lost, he's looking for you. If you're saved, he's knocking at your door, wanting you to serve him. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I didn't have to figure out what Christ was about. He gave it to us. He told us what he was about. We see the imagery of the wood picturing the cross. The bird was killed in an earthen vessel. Two birds alive and clean in cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Now, the cedar wood is interesting because if you think about it, cedar would have been the perfect wood to have made the cross out of when Jesus was crucified. I'm not saying it was. I'm not going to advocate that the cross was made out of cedar, and that's what I think. But it would have been a good, reliable wood. It would have handled the weather well. It is a strong wood. It would have been a good wood to have used for the cross. But regardless of the type of wood that was used, the point here is that it's still the cross that we preach. And according to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. When Pastor Freiman or Pastor Schaefer or anyone comes up to preach, that's the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And I think that was the imagery here with the cedar wood. We all know the imagery of the scarlet and the hyssop being used as a picture of cleansing. Isaiah 1, 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. This piece of scarlet was dipped in the blood-water mixture of this bird. And the priest didn't know it back at the time of Leviticus, but later on Isaiah would pen, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The priest would then use that hyssop to sprinkle the blood on the leper 7 times as a pronouncement that he is now clean. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Hyssop was an interesting study. I'm not going to get into it tonight, although it's very interesting and very cool, so study it out for yourselves. But hyssop was just a little branch. Sometimes it would have, if you remember when they gave Jesus the vinegar to drink, they put it on hyssop and gave it to him to drink, if you study that out. Hyssop was just another picture of the cross, another foreshadowing of Christ's coming. Then there's the living bird that is baptized and set free. Verse 5, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water." So imagine the priest has to kill one bird and put its blood in the earthen vessel. The other bird is then taken with all the other things, plunged into the water. Now, we're not going to go into baptism versus sprinkling. That's not my job tonight. But you can study these verses, and you can see why we're called Baptists and not sprinklers. Aren't you glad about that? The point is, one bird was killed, and one bird was set free. Now, if that doesn't strike you as imagery, then I don't know what does. But Romans 5:8 explains it better than I can. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So there were two birds, one killed. That one bird died for the other bird. Now we think of "for us" as like a favor. Hey, you know what Brother Coachman did for me today? He came and snowblowed my yard. In March, of course. Yeah. But we use the word "for us" as a favor. Like, hey, look what he did for me. But that's not what this "Christ died for us" means. It means that Jesus literally died in our place. He died for us. We were supposed to be the third cross in the three that died. We were the ones who were supposed to have been killed on that cross. Just like one bird for the other, Jesus died in our place. I'm not going to get into the imagery. You can study it out yourselves, but it's wonderful. One bird was killed. The other bird was baptized. One more thing that struck me as interesting is that bird and the scarlet, the hyssop, the wood had to go through the blood. You know, it's not through anything else, not of ourselves, not by neither gold nor silver, but it's through the blood of Christ that we can be saved. That's just the first part of the ceremony. Who's bored yet? All right. The second part of the ceremony, and then all the students go, "Ah." Oh. Second part of the ceremony, verses 8 and 9. And he that is be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off his hair, and wash himself in the water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. He shall, on the seventh day, he shall shave off the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all of his hair shall he shave off. So the second part of the ceremony, there's not a lot going on, but the leper, after the first day, he needed to go shave off all of his hair, bathe, wash his clothes, he had to shave his beard. That was probably a sad day. He was held in quarantine for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, he had to shave, wash, bathe again. Now, everybody's talking about quarantine nowadays. And I don't know if you've ever been in quarantine. I haven't, but I imagine it's pretty boring. And you don't have that social contact, as everyone's talking about. But it would have been an odd sight. This guy completely shaved, washed, held in quarantine. Then on the seventh day, to shave, wash, bathe again. It would have been an odd sight to see someone freshly cleaned and completely hairless. But if you think about it, do we know anybody that is freshly clean and completely hairless? I thought of a newborn babe. It's a reminder of how a newborn babe comes into this world. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he spoke of new birth and how that new birth is found in Jesus only. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This leper would have looked odd to his friends. He would have looked odd to his family. He could not have gone through this ceremony and left with nothing being changed. He was a completely different person. That's the reason for washing, bathing, shaving, washing again, bathing again, shaving again. When we come to Christ, we come as we are. And that's true. Every religion says, come to Christ as you are. Just come to our church. Come to Christ just as you are. You're fine as you are. And that's true. Like, you come to Christ as you are. You don't need to do anything to come to Christ. But if you've come to Christ properly, you'll leave and you'll be a changed person. You won't come to Christ and leave the same as you were. You'll be different. You'll be washed, shaved, bald maybe, with no beard. That wasn't meant to be funny, but it came across as funny. You'll leave as a changed person, and that's the second part of the ceremony. The third part of the ceremony we find in verses 10 through 20 again. I'm not going to read it all. You can read it all yourselves. But it's another intensive part. On the eighth day, the freshly bathed and newly shaven leper would meet the priest in the temple with two he lambs, the ewe lamb, so there's three lambs involved, and the flour for the burnt, the meat, the trespass, and sin offerings. Once again, I'm not going to go back into those, but you can go study those out for yourselves. You can find them all in chapters 1 through 6. You can also find them in Numbers chapter 6. However, I think we all understand the ideology of the offerings before the Lord and how the offerings show that Jesus became the sacrifice for us. But what I'd like to point out in verse number 10, should be clean on the eighth day, he shall. Oh yeah, verse number 11. And the priest that maketh him clean, at verse number 11, shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This man was now allowed to the temple. He wasn't outside. He wasn't sitting on the outside hollering unclean at everybody that passed by. He was at the temple door. This man was allowed to come in. This unclean, wretched outcast of society was now worshiping in the temple, gaining access to the Father. This makes the scene in the New Testament. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and there were sellers, people selling in the temple? This makes that scene much more repugnant. There should have been sinners at the door. There should have been people looking for cleansing, looking to see the Father, looking to see how they could have their sins forgiven. And instead, Jesus walks in and there's sellers. They're making merchandise. It was a den of thieves, Jesus called it. As Christians, what do we have in our lives that are blocking lepers, sinners, from seeing the Father in us? What are we doing with our temples that are causing others not to see a picture of God? Also, what do we need to remove from our lives so that we can access the Father? Are we selling? Are we selling ourselves? Are we so involved in our own world that we can't even access the Father within our own lives? Do we need to declutter? I just imagine when Jesus thinks of sending lepers to the temple and then there's sellers there. How repugnant would that have been? Once inside, the priest would then put the blood of the sacrifice on the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe of the leper. A picture of Christ's blood covering our own sin. Once again, I'm not going to get into everything here, but you can study that out. But Christ puts his blood on us. He gives us his blood. Christ has died for us. We can claim his blood, his righteousness. Then, after the blood, he would sprinkle the leper with oil and then daub oil on the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe of the leper, the same spot that the blood is in. This was reserved for priests. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19 says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Verse number 21. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." We all know that the oil represents the Holy Spirit, the anointing of oil. 2 Corinthians says that God, through Christ, hath anointed us. We're supposed to be priests. We're supposed to be different than the world. When we come to Christ, we're not the same. We're supposed to be teaching, preaching to others, being a good testimony. This man would now be walking around, having been anointed by the high priest in the same manner as the priests of Leviticus chapter 8, being given a new life and looking like a brand new person. There would be no way for anyone who saw this ceremony not to see a picture of the coming Messiah. The priest could not have done this and not seen Messiah coming. Everything is a picture of God, a picture of Christ. They would have known the scriptures. It would have been impossible that all who witnessed this ceremony, friends and family, they would have lifted up praises to the Most High. When they saw this ceremony, everyone would want to rejoice in Christ, right? Well, as it turns out, leprosy is incurable. There were no lepers that were healed. Nobody's knocking on the door with leprosy saying, "Hey, I've been cured of leprosy," since this Leviticus 14 was written. We know leprosy is incurable. No lepers have been cleansed before, at least not with actual leprosy. There might have been some skin problems or a rash that looked bad. But before we see Jesus healing the first leper in Luke 5, there were no lepers. Skip up to Luke chapter 4. We're going to get back to Luke chapter 5 in a minute. Jesus is dealing with the high priest. And once again, another study idea. I'm giving you guys a lot of study ideas, but study Jesus versus Caiaphas. I like watching those history shows where it's like, what would a samurai do versus like a Russian Spetsnaz for their, Van, you seen those shows where, like the Russian Spetsnaz versus KGB? Anyway. It's like, what would have happened if these two things had fought each other? Well, Jesus versus Caiaphas. Caiaphas hated Jesus. Jesus didn't hate Caiaphas. It was just that everything Jesus taught, Caiaphas didn't want. And here Jesus is arguing with the high priest. Luke chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus is talking. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were angry. Can this man heal lepers? Can this man do miracles? This guy comes down and calls himself Christ. He calls himself Jesus. Who is he? Then we get to Luke chapter 5. It's almost as if Jesus told them, "I told you what I was going to do, guys." Luke chapter 5, and I lost my verse. 5, verse number 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now imagine what this seemed to look like. This leper is now freshly cleansed of leprosy. He walks into the temple and like a customer at any typical store, "Yeah, I was just cleansed of leprosy and I was told to come here and I'm not sure what to do." And the priests are thinking, "We don't know what to do. That was taught back when we were back in preschool." And I just imagine them, maybe this didn't happen because maybe they were very smart priests, but they go back to the scrolls and they dust them off. The dust comes flying off because they have no clue. And they start doing all these little ceremonies, the blood, the bird, the turtle dove, the scarlet, the hyssop. These things don't make any sense. All of a sudden, they're doing the dipping of the bird. They're setting one free. They're killing one. This guy has got to go shave and cleanse himself and be in quarantine for 7 days. And then he's got to come back. And then we have to do some kind of a blood ceremony, and we've got to dip it. And they're reading all this. They don't know what to do. A man walks into the temple having been cured of leprosy. They dust off the old scrolls. They haven't really used this ceremony. I think some might have believed. Others might have doubted. But it is certain that Caiaphas, the high priest, would have heard that one of his priests, maybe even he himself, performed the cleansing ceremony of the lepers. What Jesus did for the leper was not a miracle for the leper. It was a testimony for them. Jesus said it. Go back. It's a testimony for them, the priests. I think that testimony had one simple message. I'm here. Jesus is telling them, "I'm here, guys." They should have been thankful. They should have been rejoicing. Crowds should have thronged the streets, but they did, but sometimes for the wrong reason. He's telling them, "I'm here." We all know the story of the high priest, Caiaphas, and how Caiaphas wanted Jesus dead. You remember when Caiaphas said, "This man shall die." It's expedient that this man die for the whole nation. It's interesting that Caiaphas was prophesying about Jesus' death when the priest should have been prophesying about Jesus' death, but Caiaphas didn't know that he was prophesying about Jesus' death. It's a very interesting study. Caiaphas, who wanted Jesus killed so badly, killed the man who would ultimately take away his job. Like, everything he wanted put Caiaphas out of a job, basically. That's an interesting study. You guys go study it. A lot of study ideas here, I guess. Caiaphas wanted Jesus dead. Caiaphas is the one who sent spies to trap Jesus in his words. Caiaphas is the one who blamed Jesus for blasphemy. But all the while, Caiaphas is trying to trick Jesus, trap Jesus, wants him dead. At some point, they had him in their hands, and they were going to throw him off a cliff. But if you skip back to Matthew 11 really quick, keep your place in Luke. Here's what Jesus is doing. Instead of fighting the high priest, or instead of reviling against the institution of religion, Jesus is back in Matthew 11, verse 5. He's talking to his disciples. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Jesus is out there healing people, feeding 5,000, giving blind their sight back. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. These people who couldn't even get into the temple because it was so crowded with the marketplace are now having the gospel preached unto them. Jesus is doing that rather than fighting the high priest. He's giving blind their sight back. He's giving the deaf their hearing back. The big point of Matthew 11, verse 5 is the lepers are cleansed. What do you notice about the word lepers? First thing I notice is it's plural. Not just one leper was cleansed. Jesus is healing lepers. He's going to different cities, Bethsaida, Jerusalem, through Samaria, and healing lepers. And every time he takes a leper and heals him, what does he probably do? Go show yourself to the priest. Go see the priest. We see Jesus healing lepers. Now, I imagine that after one leper is healed, more and more are getting healed. Each time, this long 8-day process, all these priests are getting familiar with this ceremony that they've never had to do before. All over the place, they're talking with each other, going to these priest conferences. Talking about, hey, have you guys, yeah, we did the leper ceremony. Yeah, we did too. Odd. Some of the temple leaders, like Nicodemus, are getting more and more convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. And some of them, like Caiaphas, are getting angrier and angrier that this man doth blaspheme. Jesus doesn't let up. In fact, let's skip over to Luke chapter 17. We're not going to go over every time Jesus healed a leper here, but we know he healed a bunch of them. The last time we see him heal lepers is in Luke chapter 17, where he heals not just one, but you know the story, there's 10 of them. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, probably hollering unclean. And they lifted up their voice, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These guys that were hollering unclean now are hollering for Jesus. And when he saw them, he said unto them, what did he tell them? "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now this is a great story. Like everything that we just talked about, the priests, the lepers, Jesus takes 10 of them. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't go to them and say, "You're healed, I'm cleansing you, now go to the priest." He sends them, before he even heals them, says, "Go, show yourself unto the priest." Once again, this 8-day ceremony, these priests, know the drill by now. Jesus sends all 10 of these guys to the priest. With every leper that the priest had to deal with, Jesus is telling them all the more, I am the Son of God. Jesus came to his own. His own received him not. These priests, these religious leaders, the ones who should have been preaching the gospel that weren't, he tells them, I am the Son of God, and I have the power to forgive sins. We saw it when they asked him, who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus asked them, is it easier to say I can forgive sins or to tell this man to rise up and walk? Well, obviously, they had no answer for that. And he tells the man to get up and walk, and he tells them, I have the power to forgive sins. With every leper he sends back to the priest, he's telling the priest, Caiaphas, all the other temple leaders, I'm the Son of God, and I'm here. Jesus didn't send just one message. He sends a lot of message. He does that with us, with me. He doesn't just tell me once. Sometimes he has to tell me a number of times, which I'm thankful for because I don't get it on the first time all the time. But this one was a bit different. This time was a little bit different. There were 10 of them. One came back to give thanks. We can see the lesson of obedience in the lepers. They weren't healed immediately, like I said. They were sent to the temple. They could have been like, you know what? It's not going to work for me. Jesus didn't touch me. He touched the other guy. Why didn't he touch me? They could have been discouraged. They could have just kind of, that was a bust, huh? They didn't. They obeyed. They obeyed immediately. The Bible specifically says they were healed as they went. As they were going along, they're walking along, they're getting healing. When we step out in obedience, the Lord will provide for us, no matter what he says. Even if he told someone else to do something else. If he tells us to do something, if we step out in obedience, God will provide for us. We can see the lesson of gratefulness. In fact, the one leper came back glorifying God. Jesus told him, thy faith hath made thee whole. Because he came back and gave thanks to God, he was made clean, not only on the outside, but also on the inside because of his gratefulness, because of his worship to God. We see a great lesson there in gratefulness. I'm not going to get into it. You guys can study it out. But look at verse 19 again. This is really lazy preaching where make you guys study. I'll do better. Don't tell Josh. If you don't tell, I won't tell Josh about Brother Pulling and Brother Cobb if you don't tell him about me. Brother Phelps and Brother Cobb. Look at verse 19. Jesus also tells this man, arise, go thy way. He didn't send this man to the priest. This man didn't have to go to the priest. He could just go home. This man, like those of us who claim Christ, are now free from the law. We have Christ's righteousness. Jesus did all the work necessary for this leper, this unclean outcast of society, to be reconciled to God. He didn't have to go to the priest. He didn't need to do the 8-day ceremony. He didn't need to shave his head. Jesus knew that he was cleansed. He knew that he was cleansed. He didn't need the priest. Enter religion. Religion would have said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the one? The priests clung to their own law, their own path, so tightly that Jesus did not fit into their plan. For this one leper, the law was changed to grace. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And this one leper got to feel that tangibly. He got to see that. The priests, who knew that there were 10 cleansed, because the other 9 guys would have told them, yeah, there were 10 of us, but one's missing. And the priest would have been like, well, where's the one? We got to do his cleansing too. He's not cleansed unless we say he's cleansed. That's not true. You're not cleansed until Jesus says you're cleansed. Lastly, and truly finally, I promise, these lepers, all these lepers, every leper that was in time past up until Luke chapter 5 through Luke chapters 6 through 16 to Luke chapter 17, all these lepers wanted to turn from their leprosy. They wanted nothing more than to turn from their leprosy. They wanted their leprosy gone so bad, but the fact of the matter is they couldn't do it. It's like us. We want our sin gone. We want to be changed. We want to be different. We wake up in the morning, we commit the same sins we did the day before. We go to bed and we think, I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want that super bad. We go to AA meetings or whatever it is. We try to change our own lives. We turn a new leaf. We want that. I want that. But they couldn't do it. We can't do it. What they needed to do was turn to Jesus. When these lepers cried out to him, Jesus, have mercy on us. When they did that, by putting their faith in him, he freed them from their leprosy. He did the work. If you look back in the ceremony, the priest did most of the work. The leper who was cleansed just had to shave, wash, and sit for 7 days. The priest did everything else. Jesus freed them from their leprosy. This is what Jesus was trying to tell the priests of the temple. This is his message for us today. Sure, we might be like the lepers. We're wretched, we're unworthy sinners needing the grace of a Savior. But let us not be like the priests. They had the scriptures. They knew the truth. They could perform the works needed for cleansing, but they still didn't know Christ. And that to me is the saddest part of all, is that they knew everything. Every leper that went to him was just the more testimony. Nicodemus believed, I think. Nicodemus wanted to know what Christ's miracles were about. Caiaphas hated him all the more. And if we're not careful, that's how we'll get. Let's not be like the priests. Let's just look to Christ. Brother Phelps.